Welcome to KJV Cafe, where we explore great truths from God's holy word in a simple, down-to-earth fashion. Romans 10:17 shows us where faith comes from. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's grow our faith together in the cafe today. Our program is hosted by Pastor Clark Covington and brought to you by Heartland Ministries. Grab your Bible and a hot cup of coffee or tea and join us now as we explore God's holy word.
Thank you for joining me today. Today I want to talk a little bit about God's everlasting love today. God's everlasting love today. You know, we often hear that God's love, we're told he's love, but how? Or we're told he's here, but where is he? Or we're told that he's providing, but what is he providing? You know, I have a very practical mind, I guess, so to speak. And I wonder, you know, where do we see God's everlasting love today? You know, all of this is to understand that our God, he deserves more praise from us, more acknowledgement of his everlasting love. And so when we understand just a little tiny bit of it, you know, our ways are not his ways. His ways are so much higher than our ways. Amen. But when we understand that little bitty tiny part of his plan, then we can say, hallelujah, God is great. I praise him with my whole heart. I love him. I can't stop talking about him. I want to know him more. I want to thank him more. I want to acknowledge him more. You know, all that comes from understanding who he is, right? And we don't do that on our own. That's through the working of the Holy Spirit that we receive when we're saved. Amen. But it is our duty, our job, kind of why he made us, amen, to praise him. And what he wants us to do is to seek. You know, the Bible says, seek and you'll find and knock and it'll be answered. Amen. So that's all we're doing here today. We're looking at God's everlasting love for today. What about today? Where do we see God's everlasting love? And my text verse is pretty cool. It's Philippians 4, verse 20. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, the book of Philippians, you know, Paul's writing this to the church at Philippi, wrapping up this epistle, wrapping up this chapter, I should say, and saying, look, now unto God our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. But, you know, maybe people kind of breeze past that. But wait a minute. Let's give him glory. Let's give him honor. And let's look at this idea of forever and ever, this everlasting love. You know, some people, they'll love you for a season. Amen. You ever had a fair weather friend? Oh, they'll love you for a little bit, you know, or yeah, you have people, gosh, the divorce rate is very high. People say, oh, it's not that high. What are you Christians talking about? That's pretty high. I believe maybe one out of two or something, one out of three ends in divorce. I don't have the statistic in front of me, but let's all agree it's pretty high. I know I grew up with a lot of folks that were from a broken family, including myself. And that love didn't last, did it? The divorce happened. Businesses, they break up. I was watching a short little clip as I was working today in the background on my day job. And it was a clip about a guy that had invented a very famous restaurant chain. I guess he came up with the whole idea and the concept, and a couple of people wanted to partner with him, and they partnered with him. And then 8 months later, they kicked him out of the company and they made a huge company. And I think that bothered him for the rest of his life. And hey, where is that kind of, that's not everlasting. That's temporal. We're seeing so much temporal, so much, you know, for a season, so much for just a little bit type of love these days. And yet our God is a God of everlasting love. Now unto God our Father be glory forever and ever. You know, he should get glory forever and ever and ever because he loves us forever and ever. And I'm going to give you three P's today to remember how God loves us today. Number one, God's perfect plan, his perfect plan. You know, one way we see the love of God is through his plan. You know, he's the creator of the universe, right? And he has a plan for this universe. You know, the more you study the Bible, the more you realize that he knew what was going to happen in the course of humanity in the world before it ever happened. And you're saying, yeah, well, he's God. But no, really think about that. A lot of people think, oh, well, God, you know, he made the earth and he made the universe and then all these things happened and he reacted, right? And the Bible, sometimes people could read the Bible, they'll say, where God repented of creating humanity before Noah's flood. But if you really understand who God is and you get into the scriptures, we see a pattern there, understanding that he is everlasting to everlasting, Alpha to Omega. He is and he always will be and he always has been, and he has foreknowledge. You know, we were pre-known as people. He knew us before he made us. Amen. The Bible says we were fearfully and wonderfully made. So he understands who we are. He understands what we've been through. He understands all of that. And he knew it before time started. So he had a plan to resolve all of these problems that mankind would face. And the start of that plan is through Jesus Christ at the virgin birth. It had to be a virgin birth. Why did it have to be a virgin birth? Because if Jesus Christ was born to an earthly male, an earthly father, then God wouldn't have been the bloodline. God wouldn't have been the father. But by Jesus Christ having a miraculous birth by a virgin mother and Mary, and God being the father, he was both fully man and fully perfect. He was both living in this world in an earthly sense, as well as being sinless and perfect and the only begotten of God. Amen. And so through this plan, this perfect plan, and I know that you could take this idea and you could run it all the way back to, Adam and Eve and the Garden of Eden and all these other things, but really just kind of dialing into when Jesus Christ came on earth, it was the start of what we see today as our path to salvation. You know, Jesus Christ, he had that earthly witness. He had that life of obedience, that he was sinless and perfect, and wisdom beyond wisdom. And he had the death on the cross at Calvary. And all of this was necessary for us to have a chance at salvation, because it was through the resurrection, what we put our hope and our faith completely on. That's the resurrection, is how we would then be redeemed, how mankind is redeemed by the blood of the perfect spotless lamb. Not long ago on this program, I preached about why the blood. It's got to be the blood. And we spent a whole program on why the blood, why it had to be the perfect spotless lamb. And that propitiation or payment for our sin debt, amen, is the only way we have the opportunity to be saved. Now, some denominations just say, look, you're part of the human race. Don't worry about anything. I saw a bumper sticker today when I was going to mail a package that said, I don't want to ruin the ending, but everything will be okay. That's what the bumper sticker said. And I said to myself, I wonder if they're saved, because if they're not saved, everything won't be okay, amen. I know my King James Bible, and it's very clear. There is a real hell, and God created mankind to be in heaven with him, not to go to hell. Hell is for the devil. But if you reject God's free gift of salvation, if you reject what his only begotten Jesus Christ had to do on the cross, that finished work on the cross, that bitter cup that he had to drink of sin for the entire world, past, present, and future, if you reject that sacrifice, if you reject God's free gift, if you rebel against God, if you're like Cain and you say you want to bring your own offering, then hell will be your home for an eternity, and that bumper sticker will be incorrect. And so I said a little prayer for those folks, and I hope you understand what I'm saying. I'm not mocking people that want to think positively. I think the world needs more positive thinking, but the way that we can think positively is by getting in God's word and understanding he is the king of positivity, because he had a positive, perfect plan for us. Amen. And it truly is a perfect plan. And that plan is what allows us to be saved. And so when we look at this and we circle back to the idea of everlasting love today, right? This idea of this forever love and how we look at it just in a regular day here, whatever day it is you're hearing this, how do you look at God's everlasting love in the context or in the lens of today? You say, he gave me a perfect plan. He gave you a perfect plan. He gave you an opportunity to be saved by accepting Jesus Christ as Savior. And he gave you that opportunity to do that, right? And all, the Bible says he desires all to come to a knowledge of repentance, to come and repent and accept Jesus as Savior. He doesn't want anyone to end up in a devil's hell, right? But people, What gets in the way? Oh, goodness, that's a whole message in and of itself. But pride gets in the way, arrogance, which goes along with pride, the worldly culture, wanting to fit in, a bit political correctness, lusts of the flesh and sin and all these things, all these fiery darts that the devil shoots out there, attacking here, there, everywhere. Gosh, I've heard a lot about infidelity lately and cheating. What is that? That's that desire to go out and do something against that covenant of marriage that you have with your husband or your wife. Well, who put that desire there? Well, that desire to go cheat came from the devil wanting you to break that marriage, wanting you to get afar off from God, wanting destruction and confusion. The Bible says the thief comes to do what? To steal, kill, and destroy. Well, that's what that sounds like to me, amen. But people, it doesn't have to be just adultery, cheating on your spouse. It can be spiritual adultery where you're cheating on God, where you say that you're a Christian, but you're living like the world. If you say you're a Christian and you have a lot of worldly ways about you, then those two things conflict. Now, only God knows if you're saved, but we need to be set apart. We need to be separate, and we need to be sure that we are on God's perfect plan for salvation by accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and then living like he's our Lord and Savior. You know, in the Bible, Jesus plainly says, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know, I put that on a t-shirt. I got a little t-shirt printer here at the house. Amen. I print up t-shirts, and I put that on a t-shirt. And sometimes when I wear that, I'll kind of chuckle and I'll be like, oh, I hope people, I hope they read my shirt, or I wonder what they're going to think if they read my shirt. Because truly, many people probably have no idea that that's in the Bible. If you love me, keep my commandments. It doesn't say to be saved, keep my commandments. It doesn't say which commandment you have to keep over the other one. We're saved by grace alone through faith alone in Jesus Christ. We are justified only by believing, like Abraham. But yet, if you love him, you keep his commandments. And if you love him, you'll understand his love for you, his perfect plan. That is an everlasting love because it gives us the opportunity, it affords us the opportunity to be saved and be with him forever. And it's nothing that we can do, right? There's nothing that we can do, but it gives us that opportunity. So firstly, here we see God's everlasting love in his perfect plan. Secondly, we see God's everlasting love in his perpetual provision. His perpetual provision. Well, what does that mean? We're taken care of. In this broken, sin-sick world, we are taken care of. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about the idea that you had dinner last night or breakfast today, or you had clothes to put on, or you had a place to sleep? Have you ever thought that maybe that just isn't at all an accident, or that didn't just happen because you're talented and you earned a bunch of money and now you can pay for it? Have you ever thought that that's God's provision for you, that he has provided it for you? And what does he expect in return? Oh, I don't know, maybe some acknowledgement. I'll tell you right now, if I have kids and I provide for those kids and they never even acknowledge me and they rebel against me and they blaspheme me, I wouldn't be too happy about it. You know, the Israelites in the desert, we see this in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verses 5-6. And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxen old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxen old upon thy foot. Ye have not eaten bread, neither have ye drunk wine or strong drink, that ye might know that I am the Lord your God. What is this saying here? What is Moses saying in Deuteronomy 29, 5-6? And by Moses, I mean God, through the working of the Holy Spirit, speaking through this book here that Moses wrote. You know what he's saying? He is saying in those 40 years that the Israelites had to wander in the wilderness. Why were they wandering in their wilderness? Because of their unbelief and because of their rebellion, because of all of the ways that they were kind of turning their backs on God, looking for other things, looking for false gods, you know, all of this problems. In that time, their shoes never wore out. 40 years. Look, this was 2,000 years ago or more, right? My shoes wear out if I'm lucky. I'm lucky if I take care of them and I'm a big guy and I'm working and stuff. And, maybe a year or two, I've got shoes that last a little bit longer, but that's probably because I didn't really wear them. So now we have thousands of years ago, God saying miraculously, their shoes never went out. Not clothes. I'll go through clothes pretty quickly. They'll rip or tear or stain. I look at a white shirt. I'm like, that's a nice white shirt. I'm like, I can't have that because I'll just stain it up. I tell my wife, if I haven't spilt coffee, it's not really a regular day yet. Amen. So clothes, I go through those, but they're clothes. It didn't wax old. It wasn't broken. It wasn't ripped. Their clothes and their shoes were fine. And then it says that they didn't have to eat bread or drink strong wine. Why? Because, of course, they had that manna from heaven that fell from heaven. All of this is a sign of God's provision. And what did those Israelites do? They said, not enough. And they grumbled. I think there's a chapter and there's, oh, I miss the garlic and the fish and all of this. And it's just, you know, instead of acknowledging God and praising God and talking about his everlasting love for them, they're just grumbling and going upon their way, wanting more. And you see that very vividly when the quail comes in the picture and God gives them more quail than they can eat. And then, you know, of course, many of them die. So what we see here is just like in the days of Deuteronomy, in the days of Moses, in the days of the Israelites in the wilderness, we still have an ungrateful people. The Bible word might be stiff-necked, might be stubborn, might be perverse, might be rebellious, might be backslid, whatever you want to call it. People here today are not giving God proper praise for what he has provided for them. Again, you may say, well, I look at the tag of my shirt. It says it was made in Canada. I would like to give credit to that person in Canada. Who gave that person in Canada breath? Who gave them life? Who helped the manager put that on his heart to manage that factory? Who allowed the person to go ahead and get the yarn and the threads and all of, put all these pieces together? That's all God, amen? And we see this perpetual provision. Let me put it another way. Have you noticed all the shortages these days? It's crazy. Here in North Carolina, we see shortages everywhere we go. One place, they didn't have any eggs left, right? At a restaurant. Another place, they have no workers. Another place, they have no truckers. Another place didn't have hardly any drinks left in their fridge, no sodas or juice or anything. On and on and on. Anything you can think of, there's a shortage of now. Okay, but let me ask, so many people would say, oh, this is crazy, including me. I said, I've never seen anything like this, right? I've never seen these massive multi-million dollar companies with bare shelves like they have today. But another way to put this is, up until this point, what force on earth was creating all of this uniformity, creating all of these things that were available to us at our whim, right? Well, capitalism and technology and who's behind all that? Who's allowed all of that, right? God has allowed it. And therefore, I believe God should get the glory for it. And being in a first world country, the richest country on earth, gosh, I can't imagine what it's like in other places. So we have to just look to God, even in the times of having that bare cupboard, and say, thank you, because this reminds me of how much you have provided over the years for my need. So he has given a perpetual provision. And what we need to do is say, thank you, God. Thank you for that provision. I see your everlasting love for me in this. I preached here before about being out in the hot rodeo and I ended up holding my son's slushy and that ice was just quenching my throat during this hot, real, you know, I don't know how hot it was. It felt extremely hot. Okay. My wife broke out in hives. That's how hot it was. She got hives and she'd never gotten hives before, like that. So it was hot. And God's provision, that little cup of ice, amen. God's provision. You show up right at the right time. I was preaching, I think it was on Sunday morning, about how we were running late and we had totally forgot to go ship out a package, and we were going to ship out a package and we were running late. And when we got to the gas station after we'd shipped out that package, there was a massive accident. Now, I don't know that I would have been on course to be in that accident, but I do know that it's God's provision that I wasn't. And then I thank God that everyone was okay. It was a church van that was involved in it. And I thank God from what we could see, everyone was okay, but it was a really bad accident. Again, do we really look at the details and say, thank you, God? Thank you. Thank you for what you've provided. Thank you for your everlasting love that I see here today. Amen. Now, I have to move on for the sake of time. We see his provision in his perfect plan of salvation, amen. His perfect plan, never ever get away from the cross. Never get away from what Jesus Christ did for you, what Jesus Christ did for me. Never get over your salvation. Never get over the joy of your salvation in his perfect plan, because it truly is incredible and it's miraculous and it was planned from the beginning with you and with me in mind. Never get over his perpetual provision. It's amazing what God does for us. We have clothing, shoes, food, shelter, resources, jobs, all other things we count good in this life. We should acknowledge it. And you know, when we acknowledge it, we give him praise, then we can start thinking about this idea that this provision, God's provision, is never ending, right? But I've talked about being saved and his perfect plan. I've talked about the idea of the provision that he gives us. But how about the present promises of peace? Oh, in these terrible times, in these crazy times where you've got a drought and you've got a hurricane and you've got flooding and you've got record heat and you've got snow in places that never snowed. You've got, I mean, again, people looked, I mentioned this a few weeks ago, people looked at Texas and the power outage maybe as something surprising, but from my understanding, there are still supply problems from that power outage. There are still industries that are really suffering from that season that everything had to shut down in Texas. And so we have all of this this craziness. We have COVID, new variants of COVID. We have fear abounding. We have political strife and problems. We have all these things. And in the midst of all that, we have promises from God of peace. Present promises of peace. If this is an everlasting love, I don't know what it is, because God knew we would need it, and God supplies it abundantly. In fact, so abundantly, I could preach for probably a year or two or even a decade on God's scriptures that he gives us on peace, and I still wouldn't be able to do him justice. Amen. It's that deep, it's that abounding, and it's that wonderful. Present promises of peace. God has so many good promises for us. In church, oh man, we get battered down with life's issues. We're in there. I can see it up there preaching on the faces of the congregation. They're beaten up by life on this end and that end, and you know what I'm talking about. Amen. And I say, well, remember God's promises. Remember God's promises. And they look at me maybe like, well, which promises, Brother Clark? You know? And so I had to kind of make it concise today. God's present promises of peace, they relate to us. John 14:27, peace I leave with you. It's Jesus speaking, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Here Jesus is saying in the present tense, I'm going to leave you with peace. My peace, I'm going to give it to you. He's not saying I'll give it to you later. He's not saying I'll hold on to it for a while and then maybe you'll get it. He's saying I'm going to give it to you now. And then he's clarifying that his peace is not like the world's peace. You know, the world's peace, think about this. How does the world have peace? I have no idea. There's a song on the radio about how could I live without Jesus or being a believer, and I wonder the same thing. I don't know that they have peace. I think their idea of peace is, something temporal, like numbing themselves with drugs and alcohol and so forth. In the Bible, it's mentioned pharmacopoeia, the idea of numbing ourselves or becoming in a trance and just basically trying to forget all of this pain and sorrow in our lives. But at the same time, what we have as Christians, as believers, when you've been saved, we have what John 14:27 tells us, what Jesus tells us, it's a peace not like the world. Why? Because it's everlasting. And then Jesus says, you know, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know, if we're honest today, how many people are living in fear? Fear of health issues, fear of debt and financial issues, fear of conflict or political turmoil, fear on all sides. Again, with all these shortages I mentioned, there are people that are afraid about those things. People are living in fear. We had the power go out for maybe 10 minutes in our neighborhood, and everyone pretty much ran outside and looked around. You know, in the past when the power went out, I don't know that we did that, you know, maybe not in unison like that, but people, they're living in fear. And what Jesus is saying, look, I believe Jesus would say this more and more in the last days. Look, don't be afraid. Isaiah 26:3, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. God, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, will keep us in perfect peace, the believer, whose mind is what is stayed on thee. What does that mean? That means thinking about him constantly because he trusteth in thee. Amen. That, look, one great present promise of peace from God is just keep thinking on him. Think about him, think on him, pray to him, spend time with him. You get my idea? And that's going to supply the peace you need. And that is his everlasting love in action. It's saying, look, I know there's anxieties in this world. I know there's pressures in this world, and I'm giving you a game plan to help avoid all of these problems. You know, I mentioned before that as I've followed the Lord, I've kind of stopped looking at news as much, and even sports, and I love sports, but not looking at sports as much on TV or on the phone or anything. And it's just, what am I replacing it with? I'm trying to replace it with the things of God, music or research for the ministry or Bible study or reading devotions, whatever it is, just saturating myself in the ways and things of God. And that is a prescription for peace because it backs up Isaiah 26:3, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Take that and use that, put that to work here in your life. That's a present promise of peace, and that is God's everlasting love in action. Now, Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Oh, I've got this portion of this verse on my wall. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Okay? Philippians 4, I've got on my wall. I'll get to that section in a minute. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So God's saying, you know, I promise you that you're going to have peace when you keep your mind on me. And I promise you that you don't have to be careful for anything. Just give me all of your worries in prayer, in supplication, with thanksgiving. Thank me. Again, that we went through that part about thanking him, which we should do. Thank him and just tell him, God, I need this. God, I need that. And you thanking him, you're loving him, you're spending time with him. He, I believe, wants us to do that. That's what the word says. And the result of that, when we do that, we really give it to God, not give it to God and pick it back up, but give it to God. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keeps our hearts and minds through who? Christ Jesus. Now, this is the verse I have on my wall. Those things which ye have learned and received and heard, seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You know, think on these things. Philippians 4:8. So I just gave you 4:9. Philippians 4:8. And what I put on my wall was, think on these things: true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, any virtue, any praise. And then Philippians 4:9. Those things which you have learned and received and heard, seen in me, do, and the God of peace will be shall be with you. So the idea is, we are given an action to do, right? God's saying, think about these things. God's saying, give your burdens to me in prayer. Don't be careful for anything. Think on me. Think on these wonderful good things, and do what the Apostle Paul had been urging us to do. Live as God wants us to live, and we will have his peace. That's another promise from God that we've learned and we've received and we've heard and we've seen in the Apostle Paul. We should do these things. We should live it out. And the God of peace will be with us. And that is God's promise. That's a perfect promise for today. And it's a present promise. It doesn't say do them later. Think about them, but never do them. Tell someone else to do them, but you don't do them. Don't bother with it. It doesn't say any of that. It says live it out. And you'll have that peace. And God's giving us this prescription, this plan, this order, this program to do something for him, because he knows that we need to be doers of the word. He knows that we can't just sit here and do nothing and worry. He knows that we need something to do. And God's saying, you know, do what I've called you to do, and you'll have peace. Think on what's true. Think on what's honest. Think on what's just. Think on what's pure. Think on what's lovely. Think of what's good report. Think of any virtue, any praise. Is that not our God today? And what does this all do? Everlasting love, his promises of peace. What does it do? It quells our fears. It helps us understand we have help. It shows us the beauty of being saved. And it gives us a game plan for daily life. We have a game plan. We know what we are to do. You know, one thing I believe that people, that creates problems for people is not knowing what to do as a Christian. You know, you get saved and you say, well, what do I do? And what God's showing us is, when we get into his word, he guides us and shows us what to do. And so we have these promises. We see the provision, and we understand the plan. And all we need to do is put this together and thank him and praise him and realize the overall global picture here. The picture, if you were standing at the top of a skyscraper looking down and saying, what's the picture? The picture is God loves you. He loves me. He loves the sinner, and he wants them all to be saved, and he wants them all to come to a knowledge of him and live for him. Amen. And be disciples, be those that are reaching others with the message that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation, and that with Jesus, we have these promises of peace. We have these promises that he is not going to leave us. We understand that he is in full control, that he is sovereign, and that his plan will come to fruition. It will happen. And so I urge you today, give just your entire burden to God and accept His program for your life, live for Him. And almost every episode like this, live for Him, and He will supply your need. Thank you so much. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of KJV Cafe. Have a question for Pastor Clark? Email him directly at clark@enduringpromise.org or visit kjvcafe.com and click the envelope button on the homepage. Our program is hosted by Pastor Clark Covington and brought to you by Heartland Ministries. We'll close today with Psalm 119, verses 166 through 168. Lord, I have hoped for Thy salvation and done Thy commandments. My soul hath kept Thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept Thy precepts and Thy testimonies, for all my ways are before Thee.